And Bill.
The operator does need to inform all parties that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect. You may begin.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everyone, to the first council meeting of this new year. Happy New Year to you all. Welcome to all the new councillors that are joining us for the first time this year. As you've seen from the agenda that's posted on the wiki, there's a lot to cover this evening or morning or afternoon or wherever you are, whatever the time is, where you are. So we'll get started very quickly. Just a reminder that the agenda, as we do work on it, does evolve all the time. So please do refer to the wiki to get the latest version that we put out of that agenda. And one of the things that we've done on the agenda for this time that we're trying is to include the numbers of the motions. When you have an agenda item that addresses a motion, we've included the number of the motions so that people can make that link between the agenda item and the motions that are posted on the wiki there. So hopefully that will be helpful to everybody. We have a few administrative items to cover, and we'll start with a roll call, Glenn, if you can do that for us.
Certainly, Stefan, thank you. Jeff Newman?
Present.
Jonathan Robinson?
Present.
Ching Chiao?
Present.
Adrian Kinderis?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Tim Ruiz?
Present.
Stefan van Gelder?
Yes.
Andrei Kolesnikov?
Yes, I'm here.
Zaid Jamil?
Here.
John Berard?
Here.
Christina Rosette?
Here.
David Taylor? Wolf Ulrich Knoben?
Present.
Jamie Wagner?
Present.
Bill Drake?
Present.
Rafik Damak?
Present.
Deborah Hughes?
Present.
Wendy Seltzer?
Here.
Rosemary Sinclair? Mary Wong?
Yes, here.
Olga Cavelli?
Present.
Carlos Aguirre?
Yes, here.
Alan Greenberg?
Present.
Han-Chuan Lee? And for staff, we have Marika Koenig, David Olive, Kurt Pritz, Michael Salazar, Craig Schwartz, Samantha Eisner, Liz Gaston, I don't see she's on yet. We have apologies from Margie Milam, and we have Bruce Tonkin, our board member.
Glenn is with,
yes.
I'm in with
hey,
David.
Oh, thank you, Liz. And Rob is there too?
Yes. And Julie.
Thanks.
Shank.
Thank you very much. Righto.
And Glenn, this is Ken Bauer. I'm on also.
Hi, Ken. Thank Hi. You very much indeed. Over to you, Stefan.
David's here as well.
Hi, David. Yes, I see you've just joined. And Rosemary, have you perhaps joined in the meantime? No. And Mary Wong. Thank you. Stefan, over to you.
Thanks very much, Glenn, for doing that. Can I ask at this time if there are any disclosures of interest or updates to statements of interest that anyone wants to make? And please refer to the agenda for the couple of updates to statements that were sent in before the meeting. Does anyone have any agenda items that they'd like to review and amend? Hearing none, we'll move on to the minutes, and per our procedures, the minutes from the previous meeting were approved and can be accessed with the link that is provided on the agenda. I will, unless anybody objects, change the agenda slightly and go straight to item 6 here. The reason for doing that is that Bruce has very kindly joined the call He's going to give us a briefing on the agenda item 6, and he needs to. He can't stay with us for very long. So, unless anyone objects to that, I will go to item 6 and ask Bruce to give us a little bit of information on this agenda item, which addresses the board resolution from Cartagena on consumer choice, competition, and innovation.
This is Tim.
Yeah, Tim.
See, I don't object. I just am having trouble logging into Adobe Connect, or actually I'm not logging in. I'm just trying to enter as a guest. Is that no longer allowed, or...?
You've been sent a password to log in, and you need to use that. We have a private room now for the council meetings.
Okay, and someone knew that time because I've gotten in by guest every time before. Well, except last time I wasn't.
Tim, this is Marika. Maybe you have to try to reload the Adobe Connect room because I don't actually see you appearing asking for our entry. So maybe try to reload, and that should hopefully work.
All right. I'll figure it out.
Okay.
Thanks.
Stefan?
Yes.
When I send the request for the proxy vote, I'm not going to be able to be present after the presentation for the CHESS report, and the change is coming too late. So I think that we should keep the current agenda and start with the item regarding CHESS report. Thank you.
Okay, Bruce, would you be okay to hang on for agenda item 2?
Yeah, that's fine, Stefan.
Okay, thanks very much for doing that. We'll go back then to agenda item 2, and this is on the joint applicant support working group. You will remember that we had a motion that was deferred at our previous meeting in Cartagena. That motion will now be considered at this meeting. Before we do that, though, I'd like us to hear from Rafiq, who is the leader of the small group of volunteers that agreed to look at this issue after Cartagena and try to come to some sort of consensus on a motion that would work for everyone. So Rafiq, has the group been able to make progress?
Thank you, Stefan. So as you said, that small group was assigned to work in the original CHESS motion after Cartagena meeting, and they started during the holidays, so it's quite, I think, challenging for everybody to participate. And the group wasn't able to reach consensus regarding the motion. And my understanding is that the stakeholder groups, the registered stakeholder groups, suggested some changes. And after, because we didn't reach the council, submitted an internet motion to the original one. In addition to that, with some discussion from members in the groups, I get some amendments from the group, and I submitted them as friendly, and they were accepted by me and also by Bill, as he's seconded the original motion. I think the difference between the difference is between the two motions. So we have the original one with new amendments, to make more compromise towards the contracted parties. So, but we have at the same time that alternate motion with some specific request from contracted parties. So that's all.
Rafiq, thanks very much for giving us that report. Before I open this up for discussion, let me just say that, as Rafiq has just described, we have two motions on this agenda item tonight. The first motion is Rafiq's motion, and the way I propose to act on this, and please, if anyone objects, please speak up, is to vote on Rafiq's motion first and only consider the second motion if the first does not pass. So with that, if anyone wants to discuss any of this, any of these, anything that Rafiq has just told us or to discuss the motion itself, please identify yourself and I'll put you in the queue. And Wolf.
Thank you, Stefan. Wolf speaking. Well, I fully agree to what Rafiq was saying with regarding to the ability the group had to really discuss the issues. It was more or less an exchange of views in written form, so there was not a verbal meeting or a conference call possibly in between. That's the first thing. The other thing is, for me, as we have now a situation, it seems to be a little bit complicated. Okay, we have a procedure, as you described, we can at first talk about Rafiq's motion and vote on that, and then on the other hand. But I would like to stress a point. It would be important to have something at the end, not to leave the meeting without having anything. So saying that means to me, it's not clear in this context what is going to happen if we are going to really to leave and having nothing at the end. Does it mean the group is going to rely on the existing charter right now and can do something? That's a question for me, you know. Or is it right now then that we are in a deadlock? So that's the first question for me. And then if we have a clear view on that, then we should discuss really the motions. Thank you.
Thanks, Wolf. I think it's difficult to actually answer your question before there's been a vote. But would anyone like to comment? No further comments? Oh, sorry.
No, I have my hand up. It's Alan.
Yeah, Alan, I missed you. Sorry. Alan, please go ahead.
Yeah, I'll have a further comment. I'm not sure it'll clarify things any. After the Cartagena meeting, there was a discussion within the work group that said, since there are people on council who believe the existing charter allows continued work, and since that ALAC has approved a charter which had a significant amount of work in it, that the group was going to continue working and hope that eventually all of the charters would coalesce and it would make some sense. Everyone agreed to that, or basically most people anyone who spoke up agreed to it, said, good idea. Nevertheless, the group hasn't done anything since then. There hasn't been any meetings called, or there was one meeting called that was canceled. So I can't really report what's going to happen at this point either. In theory, the group agreed that even if council didn't act immediately, work would progress, but it hasn't. And I'm not quite sure why the two co-chairs have not brought it in any further. There was a change in co-chairs after the beginning of the year, and that may have something to do with it, but I can't really give any assurance that things are going to work any better, but in theory they should keep on working.
Thanks very much, Alan. Rosemary.
Thanks, Stefan. I wanted to address Wolf's point because I feel that this is a major issue. If we, as the GNSO Council, can't find a way of agreeing the extended charter for this working group, then I think we're in a very difficult position. As Alan says, we've got the existing charter, but to me it's very significant that, as well as that, we would have an updated, extended ALAC charter. I think we've got to find a way to encompass these wider working groups, but have them very firmly within the GNSO structures and processes. So if we're not able to agree this charter extension at the council level, I think we're opening up a door that we're really going to regret. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosemary. Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that this is, again, kind of indicative of the whole issue of the role of cross-working groups and a need that I will suggest for future meetings to get a group together to discuss how these cross-working groups operate in the future. I don't want to, though, be kind of blackmailed into agreeing to a charter that some of us just don't agree are appropriate for or within the scope of the GNSO. So I do think that we should have something, and the only answer I could give is if the ALAC charter is more expansive than the GNSO approves, then for those items in the ALAC charter, that would become an ALAC-only group. That doesn't mean the same people can't participate. It just means that it's ALAC and not it can't purport to represent the GNSO on those items. And for those items within the scope, then obviously, yeah, then they can continue. So it does create an awkward situation at best. But I would think if there's different charters, my recommendation would be that there be a meeting set up as quickly as possible between the leadership of the council and the leadership of the ALAC to see if we can come up with some kind of joint proposal back to our groups to modify the charter so they are similar.
Japan, it's Alan. Can I address that?
Yes, Alan, please.
Yeah. The ALAC passed the charter that had been on the agenda for the GNSO. The intent was that if the GNSO made changes to it when it was finally approved, the ALAC would pass similar changes so the charters would be synchronized. That was under the assumption that the charter was not going to be massively reworked. If that ends up being the case, then clearly we'll have to reconsider and decide whether we simply follow suit or do not. But the intent was not to have two competing charters, but to try to synchronize them. That was the intent at the time the ALAC passed the one that the GNSO had not yet passed. Someone has to pass it first. We don't hold meetings at the same time. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. And was that is that why you had your hand up again?
Yeah, yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Jeff, have you still got your hand up?
No, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Andre. Yeah.
Andre and then Tim, yeah.
Okay, should I speak?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, I understand that the procedure and the conduct is very important. And again, I'm very frustrated that within the first 10 minutes of our conversation, there are discussions about the procedures and the cross-constituency relations and a lot of politics instead of just giving a small and very mobile group of people, giving a chance to develop a good product, a good project, and then, you know, invite other people if necessary, just give them carte blanche to do their business. I'm just sad. It's all about procedures again, but not about the subject. And I support the first motion, which was initially raised by Rafik. Thank you.
Thank you, Andre. Tim.
I think you know the point is this is a consensus up, bottom up consensus building organization, and that's the. You know, the what all of us got involved in this with that in mind, you know, certainly on contract and party side, we even signed agreements with that in mind. So maybe there's some emphasis, some due emphasis on process and orderliness or whatever, but, you know, at the end of the day, the work product from these groups, whatever groups they are, whether they're community working groups or PDP groups or drafting teams or whatever, at the end of the day, you know, there needs to be some evidence that consensus exists on the decisions that are made, especially if they relate to policy. So I think that's a fair expectation. And I think that, you know, that Jeff is right, that the problem isn't that, you know, it doesn't get created if we can't come to agreement on this motion. The problem existed prior to that in that we went down the road of these community working groups before we defined what they are, how they work, how they communicate with their chartering organizations, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that needs to get remedied. I think there's a huge potential for these types of working groups in certain situations. But I think Cheryl's also right. We're going to blow it if we don't take the time to step back here at some point and define how these things are going to work and how we're going to move forward and how we're going to work together as various organizations within these things so that they can be successful and we don't keep running into these types of issues, because we will until that's done.
Thanks, Tim. Whether people agree with what's being said or not, there's definitely a discussion that we must have on these cross-community working groups, and I'm sure you've all seen that discussion start on the list. I really would like to encourage everyone to pursue that conversation. I'm wondering whether it shouldn't be an agenda item for one of our forthcoming meetings. It's certainly something that I'd like to for us as a group to address and to try and get a definitive position on. Bill.
Thanks. I guess this goes back to a lot of conversations in Cartagena and on the list prior. The question of community working groups obviously is something that we need to spend more time on. Nobody doubts that, and obviously people have concerns. But to mess with this particular group because of those general concerns in a post hoc fashion, to me, just seems kind of inappropriate. I mean, the council agreed to this group being set up all the way back in April. They worked pretty hard on an extended period of time to come up with some good, I think, outcomes, and I want to move to the next stage in accordance with what the board has asked for. To turn around now and kind of say, well, we need to sharply curtail the JAS because of this larger set of concerns, which are not specific to the JAS, seems to me just kind of like somewhat uncollegial, quite frankly. And especially if it's done on the basis that, well, we don't think that they have the competence or anything else. I mean, if people have concerns about the substantive issues and approaches being pursued in JAS, then they should get involved in the JAS and contribute to its work and improve the quality of the output. But to sort of greatly curtail or shut it down because of these larger unresolved seems to me just the wrong way of approaching this right now. So, I mean, I really hope we don't throw out all the good work that people have done, because this is actually a really important issue. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Bill. Before I turn over to you, Olga, can I just close the queue off here? And unless, you know, there's a lot more conversation, but I think we're already short on time on this. Olga.
Yes, very briefly, I want to support what Bill said. I think exactly the same, so I won't repeat. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Olga.
Can I get in the queue?
Who is that?
Tim, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry, Tim. Yeah.
I just wanted to say, you know, I am one that has a problem with the original motion, and it isn't because I want to curtail the group or I don't have confidence in them or I've changed my mind about what they should be doing and blah, blah, blah. What I'm saying is I don't want to extend the scope of the charter beyond what it was before. So it's not a changing of my mind. It's just wanting to stick with what I had, the decision that had been made, and not unduly expand the scope of the working group. So the second motion that was presented, I think, does look much better, and hopefully we can give that some thought. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Tim. So let's move on to the vote, if we can. Would anyone object to me not asking Rafiq to read his motion again. He did read it out in Cartagena. Is that okay for everyone? Hearing no objections. Glenn, could you please do... hang on, would anyone object to us doing a voice vote on this?
This is Jeff. I object. Jeff Newman, I object to that. This seems like it's important to get it on the record.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. So, Glenn, could you please do a roll call vote?
Certainly. Jeff Newman?
Yeah, I'm against this motion.
John Birra?
No.
Rosemary Sinclair?
Yes.
Ching Chiao?
No.
Wendy Seltzer?
Yes.
David Taylor?
No.
Adrian Kindres?
No.
Christina Rosette?
No.
Rafik Damak?
Yes.
Wolf Ulrich Knoben?
No.
Stefan van Gelder?
No.
Demi Wagner?
No.
Mary Wong?
Yes.
Olga Cavelli?
Yes.
Zahid Jamil?
No.
Tim Ruiz?
No.
Jonathan Robinson?
No.
Andrei Kolesnikov?
Yes, and it's my first time voting.
Deborah Hughes, sorry I missed you out. Deborah Hughes?
Yes.
And William Drake?
We.
There are 6 no votes in the contracted party house, and there is 1 yes vote in the contracted party house. In the non-contracted party house, there are 6 no votes, and there are 7 yes votes.
Am I right in thinking that the motion does not pass because it requires 50% of both houses?
I think you are right, Stefan.
Okay.
Would you like to check with Rob Hogarth?
Well, I think the count is pretty clear, but please check while I move on. Before doing so, I do want to thank the volunteers that got together, as Rafiq was saying earlier, on working through the holiday period to try and get consensus on this. I think the whole council appreciates that effort and the spirit of cooperation that they worked under. So thank you very much to those people, the list of which you have on the agenda. So let's move on to the motion made by Jeff Newman and seconded by Adrian Kindaris. And sorry to put you through this, Jeff, but because this is a new motion, I would like you to read the motion and there's an amendment that I forgot about that I don't think has been accepted as friendly yet. The amendment was made by Wolf. Jeff, Adrian, do you accept the amendment as friendly?
So this is Jeff. The answer is the answer is no, that we do not accept it as friendly. We did not accept it as friendly. But let me state though that so as a whole we didn't accept it as friendly, but the registries were willing to accept what was added as I, if you see it in bold, design mechanisms to encourage the build out of IDNs. We are willing to accept that part as friendly, but only that part.
You are saying, Jeff, just to make sure I understood properly, that the amendments E, F, G, H are not acceptable, but you would be willing to accept the amendment I?
Correct.
Okay. I suppose, Wolf, I could ask you then if you're willing to retract the rest and just propose I as friendly. If you are not, we will vote on the amendments first and then the motion. So if you don't feel you have to accept that in any way, it's just a proposal that's made.
Thanks. Is Wolf speaking? Just to understand correctly. So I understand Jeff, so that he's accepting the item I, but not the others. And now we are going to ask me whether I refrain from all the other items I put.
Yeah, my question is, in light of what Jeff just told us, would you be willing to retract your amendments on E, F, G, and H and just keep I, or is that something that's not acceptable to you, in which case your amendments have not been accepted as friendly and we'll vote on those first and then vote on the motion itself?
The motion is including I, isn't it?
The motion without the amendments. The amendments are shown in bold text on the wiki.
No, my question is now right now to Jeff. His motion is now including I, isn't it? Or is it?
Yes, it is.
It is. So anyway, we are going to vote on his motion including I then. Okay.
We will vote on the original motion after the amendments. And the original motion was, I believe, shown earlier in the did not have an I, sorry, in it. Jeff, can you just correct me if I'm wrong? I do not believe it had anything beyond E.
Correct. There was an E, and what Wolf's amendment did was delete E and replace it with a new E through I. What I'm saying is accepting as friendly is only adding I, what is labeled I in Wolf's amendment, making that a new F, and then everything else remains the same.
Is that clear to you, Wolf?
Uh-huh.
Is that acceptable to you?
No, it's not.
Okay.
I would like to have to vote on that.
Yeah. So we'll vote on the amendments first. Does anyone need any discussion around this? Just looking to the Adobe. Seeing no hands. Wolf, could I just... Oh, Zahid, sorry.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that as far as the VC is concerned, we are going to be happy to vote in favor of Jeff's drafts and motions as seconded by Adrian if it includes at the very least, the I, which is being accepted by Jeff. So our position is that we would accept that motion with only the I included. We don't need E, F, G, and H in there. Just wanted to make that point.
In that case, I will make the point that anyone is free to make a proposed amendment up until the time we vote on the motion.
That's interesting, because then I'd like to make the suggested friendly amendment to the motion as it stands in original, requesting that I be included.
Zahid, why don't you wait until we vote on the amendments, because we'll vote on those first. And
thank
then,
you, sorry.
If they pass, then the problem is, the issue is moot anyway. Is that okay? Wolf, can I ask you to read, well, actually, that's probably not very useful, just reading the amendments. Jack, can I just ask you to read the original motion and then, Wolf, the amendments, please?
Sure. Okay, it's kind of long, but does that mean just the resolved clauses, or can I go straight
there?
That's
fine.
Okay.
Resolved clause is the long one anyway.
Right. So, resolve number one, the charter of the joint SOAC new GTLD applicant support working group is extended to include the following limited objectives. A, proposed criteria for financial need and a method of demonstrating that need. Financial need has been established as the primary criterion for support. The group should seek out expert advice in this area, especially given the comparative economic conditions and the cross-cultural aspects of this requirement. B, proposed mechanisms for determining whether an application for special consideration should be granted and what sort of help should be offered. I think it says D, but it probably should say C. Proposed methods for applicants to seek out assistance from registry service providers. We jump then to, sorry, I'm getting lost in this draft here.
Yeah, jump to the E that's been crossed out. That was part of your original motion.
Yes, E, which should probably now really be D if we're going in letter order. Proposed methods for applicants to seek out assistance from other top-level domain consultants, translators, and technicians in the application for and administration of a new top-level domain. Number two, the working group is asked to present a schedule for the work that allows for completion in time for the opening of the application round, currently scheduled for Q2 2011. In any event, no delays for the new GTLD program should result from the working group's work. Three, the working group shall report its results and present a final report directly to the GNSO Council and the ALAC for discussion and adoption as appropriate according to their own rules and procedures. Four, all communication to the ICANN board regarding the work of this working group shall be through the respective SOAC unless expressly approved by the respective SOAC.
Thanks very much, Jeff. And Wolf, can I ask you to read your amendments, please?
Yes. The amendments only refer to E. That is stricken. That is in bold letters here. So I refer to that. E, discuss and propose methods for coordinating any assistance volunteered by providers, in brackets consultants, translators, technicians, etc. Match services to qualified applicants, focus these relationships and review the operational quality of the relationship. F, propose methods for coordinating cooperation among qualified applicants and assistance volunteered by third parties. G, in cooperation with ICANN staff and donor experts, propose policies and practices for fundraising and for establishing links to possible donor agencies. This activity may include assisting in the establishment of initial relationships with any donors who may be able to help in first round with funding. H, review the basis of the $100,000 application base fee to determine its full origin and to propose a percentage of that fee could be waived for applicants meeting the requirements for assistance. Work with the ICANN UGTLD implementation staff to determine how the fee waivers would be accommodated. And I, design mechanisms to encourage the build-out of internationalized domain names in small or underserved languages, so which is now included in the other.
Thanks very much, Wolf. Sorry.
Yes, that's it.
Thank you. So we will vote on the amendments first. And because we did a roll call vote on the other motion, I propose that we do one for this motion as well. Glenn, could you please do that?
I will indeed, Stefan. Olga Cavelli.
Yes.
Christina Rosette. Christina?
Sorry, I'm on mute. Sorry. Yes.
Rosemary Sinclair.
No.
Jamie Wagner?
Yes.
Deborah Hughes?
Yes.
Rolf Ulrich Knobin?
Yes.
Andrei Kolesnikov?
Yes.
Jeff Newman?
No, to the amendment.
John Berra?
No.
Mary Wong?
No.
Rafik Damak?
No.
Tim Ruiz?
No.
David Taylor?
Yes.
Adrian Kinderitz?
No.
Sing Chow?
No.
Jonathan Robinson?
No.
Ray Jamil?
No to the amendment.
William Drake?
No.
Wendy Seltzer?
Yes.
Stefan van Gelder?
Yes. No, to the amendments.
Have I not called out anybody? Have I called out all your names?
Glenn, this is Christina. I've gotten my... I don't know exactly what happened, but I think hearing Jeff read the kind of his proposed amendment and then Wolf, I got myself all confused. I thought we were voting on Jeff's motion and not Wolf's amendments. So I need to change my vote from a yes to a no. Sorry.
You? In the contracted party house, we have 6 no and 1 yes. In the non-contracted party house, we have 7 no and 6 yes.
Thanks, Glenn. So that means the amendments do not pass. Zahid, did you want to submit another amendment?
Yes, thank you for that. And I'd like to submit an amendment which is I, design mechanisms to encourage the build-out of international domain names in smaller underserved languages to be included into this resolution. Looking for somebody to second this. Jeff, would you want to do that?
I don't even think you need a second because I think I would
accept the amendment. Jeff and Adrian need to either accept or don't, but no one needs to second your amendment.
Right, so this is Jeff. I would accept that, and we'd make that, I guess, F. But yes, accept that.
Adrian, would you accept that as friendly?
I accept that as friendly.
Good. So let's vote on that motion now, please. Glenn, if you can start us off again.
Now we are on Jeff's motion.
With Jeff. The added I that becomes an F.
That's right. Jeff Newman?
In favor, yes.
Deborah Hughes?
Yes.
Wendy Sosa?
No.
Zaid Jamil? Zaid? Zaid left your mute.
Did you say Zaid?
Zaid, can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now, yes. Yeah, the answer is yes.
Yes. Jonathan Robinson?
Yes.
Rolf Ulrich Knobin?
A small yes, but a yes.
I'll note that. Refik Demek?
Definitely no.
Rosemary Sinclair?
No.
William Drake?
No.
That was no. Mary Wong?
No.
Adrian Kinderis?
A resounding yes.
Tim Ruiz?
Yes.
Jamie Wagner?
Yes.
Christina Rosette? Christina? Can you hear me, Christina?
I can hear you.
And you did?
Yes.
Sorry. Andrei Kalishnikov?
Yes.
David Taylor?
Yes.
Stefan van Gelder?
Yes.
Olga Savelli?
No.
Shit.
And Ching?
Yes.
Contracted party house, we have 7 yes. In the non-contracted, I'm sorry, John Berard, I haven't asked your vote.
I was going to draw your attention to it, but yes.
You?
Yes.
In the non-contracted party house, we have 7 yes. And 6 no.
So unless I'm very much mistaken, the motion does pass. We have 7 in,
in
the non-contracted party's house. We have 7 votes in favor.
7 votes in favor and 6 votes against.
Okay.
So that's 7 out of 6. So that makes...
So the motion passes and... unless, I mean, we get those results checked, but the motion passes. Thanks, everyone, for working through that with us. And let's go straight to agenda item 6 and hand it over to Bruce. And thank you, Bruce, for your patience.
Hey, Stefan, and this is Jeff Newman. Sorry to interrupt, but we can just talk about this later, but we do need to now figure out what we're going to do, given that we have a different charter than the ALAC. And we could push it off. But we probably need to discuss that.
We will discuss it, but we won't have time to discuss it tonight. Or today, or this morning. Bruce?
Bruce is on mute. I think we give him a chance to get off mute.
No, Bruce, not able to get off mute. In that case, we'll have to move on to item 3.
Bruce is off mute. He should be. Bruce? No, he's...
Okay. Well, in that case, let's...
He's having some problems, I think. I'll ask the operator to help him.
Thanks very much for doing that, Glenn. Let's move on to item three, then. And just to address your point more completely, Jeff, not only are we pressed for time, but I do want to get those voting results confirmed. So once we've done that, then we will, as you suggest, we will need to look at that again. Moving on to item three, then, and the final report on proposals for improvement to the RAA, we have a motion, once again, that was made in Cartagena. This motion was made by Christina and seconded by Mike. I believe we are looking at the original motion that Christina made. Is that correct, Christina? The reason I'm asking is that at some point the motion was changed and then put back to the original, I believe. Christina may be on mute, so let us...
Sorry, you're right, I am. I thought we had changed it because I had accepted as a friendly amendment Mary's amendment, essentially dividing it into two motions, one of which would deal solely with a vote on the Registrant Rights Charter, and the other of which would deal with the, for lack of a better word, process for further amendments to the RAA.
Yeah, absolutely. I got confused between the two. You're absolutely right. The latest version is on the wiki. Unless anyone objects, in the interest of time, I won't ask you to read through that. And I'd like to open this up for discussion at this point. Does anyone want to speak to this?
Jeff, this is Tim. Just a question on if I'm okay here to speak.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah. So I just want to be clear. The actual motions are what's enclosed, or what follows number one. And then the second motion follows number two, because both of those are actually enclosed within another motion. So I'm not sure what exactly the motion. Just want to be sure what the motions are that we're voting on, or that we're considering here.
Yeah, actually, now
two motions enclosed in a third. Yeah.
Right. I mean, now that I'm looking at it, I'm not sure. Okay. Yeah.
One of the things we could do is, I mean, well, Christina, do you want to answer that before I suggest a way forward?
I'm open to anything that is going to deal with this quickly and cleanly. What I would really like to be able to do in this meeting is to vote to approve the recommendations relating to, well, accept the final responsibilities charter and recommend that staff commence the consultation process with the registrars on the right registrant rights and responsibilities charter. I'm fully prepared to table what was identified as number two, namely the portion of the original motion that dealt with the process for further amendments to the RAA. And I have no strong feelings one way or the other as to how we do that procedurally, as long as that's where we end up.
Well, if you're suggesting it, we can simply remove it. If you're suggesting we do that, you made the motion.
Yeah, in that case, let's go ahead and table that part of it or withdraw it procedurally.
Okay,
whatever
the only problem here, and staff, I may need staff's help on this, because the seconder of the motion is no longer on the council. We can't get his approval.
Right, but I would imagine that in the circumstance we would be able to, if either of the councillors from his constituency would be willing to agree to that, that would be sufficient.
Stefan, excuse me, this is Glenn. Bruce is
yes.
back on the call.
Yeah, thanks. Just to let people know that I see your private messages on Adobe, but I can't respond.
And Stefan, I've given Bruce a schedule. I'd be happy to put this on hold and revert to the part of the agenda that he is here to speak about, and we can get back to this.
Well, perhaps we can do this quickly. Let's just try and work through it. So would anyone object to us asking the two BC councillors, one of the two BC councillors, to stand in on Mike's behalf and second and agree to the changes that Christina has made? Good. So which one of you two wants to do that?
This is Zahid. I'm happy to go ahead and do that. Second.
Okay. And you're okay with those changes?
Yes.
So we shall strike number two from that motion and vote on number one only. Does anyone have any other comments before I take the vote? Good. Anyone opposed to a voice vote on this? Glenn, could you please do a voice vote?
That is everybody say aye who agrees.
That's correct.
Aye.
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 Is there anybody who disagrees? Please say nay. Is there anybody who wishes to abstain? Please say so. So it passes hearing.
Good. Thanks very much. And
no one saying yes or no.
Yeah, thanks, Glenn. So let's move on to item six. Bruce, if you're back.
Yes, Stefan, sorry about that. I'd put myself on mute so that I wasn't disturbing people and it wouldn't let me get off mute. So, look, really quickly, because I've run out of time, really, but I've sent an email to the list just to sort of start some initial thoughts. But I think, let me preface it by saying, in our strategic plan, in our operating plan, and in new GTLDs, we talk about improving competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice. But those are very general terms and can mean lots of different things to different people. And even in that discussion about, you know, supporting applicants from different countries and things, that really is one of the, should be one of the objectives of a program. It should be something you can measure. So what I've suggested is first considering some different definitions of the topics of competition, consumer choice, and consumer trust. And I've given some examples. So for competition, you could look at competition between the operators of particular top-level names. You could look at competition between the back-end providers that provide services for those names. You could competition in terms of registrars. For consumer trust, you could be looking at reliability and consistency. So, you know, when you type in a domain name, it works all the time and goes to the same place. You could be looking at accountability, so that whoever's running these names is going to be responsible for what those names do. And you could be looking at things like users' perceptions of whether they understand what these names do and the names behave in a consistent way. Some of the measures around consumer trust, I think you could measure quite explicitly. If, you know, for example, if you're going to measure uptime PLDs, I think that's a fairly explicit measure you can use. But other measures might need to be customer surveys of some form, because really you're talking more about people's perceptions than some hard and fast number. Consumer choice, I think you could look at that in terms of choice of registrants in being able to choose a name for themselves. You could look at it in terms of what internet end users are choosing to use to access internet resources. And it could be that they are using different names to access the same resource. So you might have you know, a particular repository of information that might be accessed by an IDN, by somebody in a Middle Eastern country using the Arabic language. That same resource could be accessed by an ASCII-based domain name from somebody in Europe. So you could have the same resource, but consumers might exercise choice in using different identifiers that meet their needs to access that resource. So that's really just some initial thinking, and I'm going to have to drop off the call, but
Really what I'd be encouraging the GNSO to do is first focus on some of the definitions of the types of competition, the types of consumer trust, and the types of consumer choice. Then think about the measures, and measures can be short-term. In other words, if after a year of operating the program, what would we be able to meaningfully measure? And then they could be long-term. So changes in perception and changes in how the users use the internet, they're going to be sort of 3 to 5 year changes, and so I don't think we're going to be able to measure those within a year, but we should at least state what some of those measures are and start to measure some of those longer-term measures over, in the sort of end of our strategic plan in 3 years' time. So that's kind of all I can say at this stage, Stefan, and then unfortunately I have to drop off.
Well, thanks very much for taking the time to be with us, Bruce. We appreciate it, and speak to you soon. To start the discussion, we've had Rosemary has volunteered to lead a drafting team to provide the advice that's been requested on this. Rosemary, do you want to say a few words?
Yes, thanks, Stefan. Little reminder for people that I am actually on the GNSO Council to represent, in the loosest of terms, the set of issues around consumer facing ICANN. So over the last couple of meetings, I've been holding workshops trying to look into the terms that ICANN uses when it talks about consumers. And so I've gone back to the strategy plan and the affirmation of commitments, which Bruce was referring to. And so it was in Cartagena that this idea emerged that as the first-year review of the new GTLDs comes up, that we should, as part of that process of reviewing, look specifically at consumer choice, consumer trust, and competition. These are three phrases, words, that are very complicated. And so Bruce's suggestion that we spend some time defining what they mean in the ICANN context is a very important suggestion, but it's not a simple piece of work. And even the exchange and email so far indicates that there are different views. I'm keen and happy to lead the work, but I'm really going to need quite a bit of help, not only content-wise, but also process and procedure-wise. So I'm hoping for some staff input and assistance there, as well as needing some other volunteers to become engaged in the discussion. So we're just at the beginning, and anyone who wants to jump on board, I'd be really grateful.
Thanks, Rosemary. I would echo that, obviously. Debbie has already volunteered, but it would be very useful for others to volunteer, and that would be very much appreciated. John?
Well, I'd like to accept that challenge and volunteer. I think my professional background in communications and such could be useful to the exercise, and would very much like to participate. I also have an expression of interest from Steve Del Bianco, who's the vice chair of policy for the business constituency, who would like to participate if it's appropriate at all to put his name forward at this moment. Consider it done. Otherwise, we can pick it up at another. But I certainly want to participate. I think I can be helpful to you in this exercise.
Thanks, John. And this is a great opportunity for me to remind people that these drafting teams are not limited to council members and anyone else. I mean, Steve's very welcome if he wants to help with the work. Rosemary, we will try and get you some staff support and assign a staff person to your drafting team, and probably need a dedicated email mailing list, so we will work on those details. Wendy,
Stefan, this is a 10th.
Another volunteer here.
Great.
Thanks, mm-hmm. Wendy. Someone else was trying to get in?
Tim, yeah, I just had comments.
Go ahead, Tim, please.
Oh. I can't volunteer. I just don't believe I'm going to be able to have the time to do that properly. But so what I would hope is that the group would come back. Hopefully that there's time for the group to come back to council for us to look at the work product, whatever it is, sometime before March, if possible. I know there's not a lot of time. Everything's always on such a tight schedule. But I know I, for one, would like to have some time to be able to review this, like a week before the ICANN meeting, which is when we typically get stuff. Sometime before that would be nice. And the only other thing I just wanted to comment on is, or just a question, I guess. I mean, consumer trust and competition, that's kind of a core aspect of ICANN's mission. And I guess that I'm a little confused that the actual definitions, after, 10 years now, have never been made. So we've never defined these things, and I guess I'm a little puzzled. I would just suggest that there's got to be some sort of historical, some sort of background about what those things meant or how they've been viewed in the past, and it shouldn't be something that has to be come up with totally from scratch, so to speak.
Stefan, may I just respond very quickly?
Please do.
Yes, I actually went searching for all of that, Tim, ahead of the workshop that I ran in Brussels around these terms. And whilst there may be quite a bit of thinking, there isn't a lot that's been documented, whether in bylaws or board decisions or other places. And I think what's happened is that the affirmation of commitments and the process that has sprung from that in terms of reviewing progress and being very transparent and accountable about what's going on, I think that has given new impetus to these ideas and the need for clarity, certainty and agreement. So just by way of background, I did go and look for that and couldn't find it.
Thanks, Rosemary.
Thanks, Rosemary.
Stefan, did you ask me to speak? It's Jonathan.
Well, you've got your hand up.
Yeah, I've got my hand up. Sure. I just wasn't sure if I heard my name.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. It's your turn, yeah.
Yes, thank you. I'm just volunteering to throw my hat in the ring as well. I'll help out Rosemary to the extent I can. I've got a relatively broad perspective on these things, so I hope I can add something to the mix.
Thank you very much. Carlos, just before I hand it to you, Liz, you asked an interesting question. For those who haven't seen it on the chat, you say, please consider what staff work you would like to suspend in order to provide staff support for this work. To that point specifically, I would respond that we didn't ask for this. We were told to do this by the board. So it's not something that I think we can prioritize in quite the same way that we would our own work. But I'm happy to hear other people's thoughts on that.
Yes, Stefan. Stefan, it's Jeff Newman. I have a comment on that too.
Well, can I just can I take the cue and just?
Sorry, Stefan. Can I hear me?
Yeah,
Carlos.
Carlos,
here.
Can you speak?
Yeah. Please add me as a volunteer at this the group, please.
Thank you, Carlos. That's very much appreciated. And can I ask both you and Jonathan to put down your hands unless you've got other points that you want to make. Jeff.
Yeah, I just want to support what you said, Stefan. I think, Liz, unfortunately, we didn't ask for this work, and it's really before the board makes a request to the GNSO to do this work, the board needs to figure out and with staff how they are going to staff it. This is just, you can't add work on our plate and then say, what else are we going to cut off? That's not really fair to the council.
It's Liz. Can I comment?
Of course.
I just,
bring this to the council because I believe it's the intent to have the council actually, you know, be more of a manager of the policy process. And I completely am aware of and sympathetic to the fact that the board has generated not just this work, but a lot of other projects recently. We're all at the mercy of that, and I completely share your concerns about that situation and would love to work constructively with all of you to find better ways to address that problem. But it has been a problem for at least a year and a half. I've been talking about it for a year and a half. Many other groups that we've stretched to staff have been board-driven and have been urgent deadlines, and we've sucked it up and done it on top of all the other work for the last year and a half, and we just can't do it anymore. So what I'm suggesting, the reason why I was careful in my wording and said, you know, suspend other work is in recognition of that fact, and perhaps the other work needs to be, you know, non-board requested work or however you all deem as managers of this process makes the most sense. I can only tell you quite honestly that we are not an unlimited resource and we cannot do the staff support for this unless we stop other things. And I'm very willing to be flexible about what those other things are, how we do it, all the permutations of that, but we're really, we have no bandwidth to keep taking these projects.
So, Stefan, this is Jeff. Jeff, I have my hand up again.
And Tim, please.
Yeah.
So as important as this work sounds, then I would basically say let's suspend work on this, right? Let's suspend taking work from the board. Since new GTLDs, I mean, I want them to happen quickly. Most of us do. But since they're not happening very quickly, I would suspend this work until at least the guidebook is finalized and people start submitting requests for new TLDs. I would suspend this and send that message clear back to the board.
And I think you're in agreement with what Christina is suggesting on the chat, which is that the council sends a letter to the board saying that we don't have the resources, the staff resources to take this work on. And that is something that I would like to hear from the council if everyone is in agreement to doing that, because that's something quite significant if we do commit to doing that. But let's go to Tim first.
Well, that was, I'm sorry, I'm not on Adobe. I can't get on it. I didn't see that, but that was what I was going to suggest as well, that, that, you know, do we have to accept the work that the board gives us? I don't know if that's true. And at this point, I'm wondering if it's not something we should reject. And in particular, if we do decide to pursue it, to, by any stretch of the imagination, say that we could have something of real substance or quality by the San Francisco meeting, given what they're asking for, this seems to be a little, unrealistic to me.
Thanks, Tim. Rosemary.
Thanks, Stefan. I think before we write a letter, perhaps given that Bruce is driving this very energetically, perhaps we could have a discussion with Bruce about this resources issue. And secondly, in terms of what can be delivered in March, in my experience with discussions such as this, where you're talking about concepts and principles and a policy framework, then I think we're really talking about what I would call a scoping document or a framework document. I don't think we're going to get anywhere near actual agreed definitions or measures or timeframes by March.
Thanks, Rosemary. So we really have two ways forward that are being suggested. One is for the council or myself as chair to draft a letter, get council's approval on it, and then send it to the board. The other is to have a less formal conversation with Bruce, first of all, and see where he might be at and what his advice might be, and then look to the next steps, which is a more measured approach that we possibly might all be able to agree on. I mean, it doesn't exclude the first approach. You know, once we've had that conversation with Bruce, and if Rosemary's willing to try that, then perhaps we can entertain that idea. Christina?
I was just going to say that I'd like the idea of reaching out to Bruce and having the initial discussion with him before we fire off a letter, and would suggest that we pursue that route.
Thank you. So would anyone object to us doing that?
Rosemary?
Oh, sorry. Going too fast.
Who's running by us, if you mean what you're asking? Are you asking if for the chair and vice chairs to meet with Bruce, or to have him meet with us at our next meeting, or how would we do it?
No. Sorry, Tim, I wasn't clear. What I was suggesting is for Rosemary, as the leader of the drafting team and the group of volunteers, to engage with Bruce, bring the problem to him, and report back to council, and we take it from there and see if we then want to start down the path of writing a letter to the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
is that clear?
I'm happy to do that, Stefan.
Thank you very much, Rosemary. And let's move back to, where are we? Agenda item 4, I believe. And we have a motion there. Now, this is really, I mean, we've just discussed prioritization, and this is also to do with our prioritization efforts, partly. It's a motion that was made by me, seconded by Jeff, and we have an amendment that Jeff proposed that I accepted as friendly. Once again, in the interest of time, I would suggest that I don't read the motion. It's very long, and that we go straight to the discussion phase. If anyone wants to speak to this, please raise your hand in Adobe or speak up. Christina. Christina, you're coming off mute.
Sorry. Okay, I have a question about the portion of the motion that deals with, where is it, under the resolved clause under little a. I'm confused about how that the recommendation is satisfied by the RAP working group malicious use of domain names recommendation number 1, which recommends the creation of non-binding best practices, blah, 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 when we haven't actually done anything about that recommendation. So I'm wondering whether there's information that I'm missing or maybe I'm misunderstanding, but a clarification would be helpful.
Well, we're basically suggesting on these is that the RAP working group take up this work. We're not suggesting that the work has been completed. Is that helpful?
Yeah.
Jeff?
Yeah, I think I was going to phrase it a little bit differently, that however we decide to handle RAP recommendation number 1, this should be subsumed into that.
Thank you, Jeff. Any further comments?
This is Tim.
Tim?
Do we need to consider the RAP motion first, or does that resolve any confusion, or does that make it worse?
I don't think it really changes anything, Tim, because I don't think that motion currently deals specifically with that recommendation, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and it would add a level of confusion. I'd rather we dealt with this first. Any further comments? Anyone opposed to a voice vote on this?
Can I actually suggest a teeny tiny friendly amendment?
Please.
This is Christina. I would be more comfortable with this if we were, for that point that I've raised, if instead of saying this recommendation is satisfied by, that we replace satisfied with encompassed.
Hang on, let me try and catch up with you here. You're talking about A, right?
Correct.
I'm trying to look for satisfied, but I can't find it. Let me have a look at the, just make sure I'm looking at the right part of the text.
It's in the road. And just in the blank space, I'll mention that this is motion 4 for those listening to audio only.
Yeah, thanks for that. That's helpful. Yeah, okay. Is satisfied by, and your change, sorry, is?
Just change satisfied to encompassed, because satisfied suggests that it's done, it's taken care of, and because that's not the case, I think it's clear if we just tweak it a little.
Jeff, this was on your proposed amended text, so would you be okay with that?
Yes.
Good. Okay. So if someone can just, someone from staff can just change satisfied to encompass. And we will proceed with the voice vote unless anyone objects to that. Glenn, please do a voice vote on this.
Well, Stephen, all in favor of the motion, please say A.
Aye.
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 Anyone against the motion, please say nay. Are there any abstentions? Stefan, the hearing none, the motion passes.
Thank you very much. So we now have a second motion to consider, which is motion 5 in the wiki, which is a motion that was made by Tim and seconded by Jeff. This motion has is slightly different than the ones we normally consider in that it has two parts, but one of the parts actually has a lower threshold applied to it than the other, because one, the second resolved clause requests an issues report, and that carries the lowest threshold that we have, which is 25%. It requires a 25% vote at both houses or a majority of one house. Because and the threshold that would apply to resolved clause number one should be the standard one that we use, which is the 50% of each house. Because there's that issue, my way forward, and I have checked this with counsel before proposing this, with legal counsel before proposing this to the GNSO counsel, is that we apply the lowest threshold to the full motion. Is anyone opposed to that? Is that clear to everybody? Good. In that case, does anyone want to say anything on this motion before we take a vote on it?
This is John Berard. I have one question.
Please, John.
The language of the second resolve, and again, I come to this sort of as a little orphan Annie waif without much awareness of the backstory. The use of the words insufficiencies, inequalities, from where does that spring?
Tim, is that something you can respond to? Or Jeff?
It sounds like it's been predetermined, and I was just kind of curious. That's all.
I'm sorry, I was on mute. Yeah, this is. I think someone had asked that before, and it basically is the language from the drafting team in the final report. So it's not really language we created; it was language taken from the reports.
Is that okay, John?
I guess it's presented as a low threshold item, but as I look at it, thinking about the debate that has been held with regard to rights protection, historic and rights protection in the new GTLDs, it strikes me as being a fuse attached to a rather large charge, and I wonder if it should bear the burden of the higher standard as opposed to a lower one.
When we speak, perhaps I can clarify this and encourage any of the newer councillors to ask questions like this if you're unclear about our procedures. When we speak about lower thresholds, there's a set of voting thresholds that we use when we come to vote on GNSO issues, and those are part of our operating procedures, and it doesn't mean, when we say lower threshold, it just means that because there's an issues report requested, we apply that threshold. It doesn't mean the item itself isn't important.
Stefan, okay. Was very helpfully briefed by Glenn.
Jeff, do you still have something that you want to say?
No, you answered it. Thanks.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, so would anyone be opposed to a voice vote on this one? Oh, no, sorry. We can't do a voice vote because...
Stefan, this is Christina. I can't get my hand to go up.
Okay.
I would like to, on behalf of the IPC, ask that we defer action on this until our next meeting, consistent with our past practice of allowing a constituency or stakeholder group to make that request. This obviously is a topic of great interest to the IPC, and we haven't really had a chance to discuss whether or not there are additional issues or recommendations within the RAP that report or letter rather that should be given the same level of priority such that it would be appropriate to consider addressing them simultaneously as well.
Thank you, Christina. So we do have a practice of accommodating such requests and deferring motions to the next meeting if any group requests that we do so. So we shall do this and move on to agenda item 5.
Stefan, this is Jeff.
Yes.
Can I just ask, in order to, because I know this is kind of, as Christina said, a hot button or whatever, can I just encourage, if there are any issues with the motion or questions, can I encourage constructive dialogue between the groups so that, you know, when it does come up at the next meeting, we can actually have something that seems like it'll pass through the council? That's just a request.
Thanks, Jeff. So on item 5, we actually have a problem with this because Margie is ill, and she was supposed to give us an update on the REC6 community working group. We have had requests for feedback from the stakeholder groups and constituencies. We have been receiving feedback. What I suggest we do is defer this item until Margie is able to give us that report at the next meeting, and just encourage people to continue providing the feedback that has been requested on this. Would anyone object to me doing that?
Hey, Stefan, this is Mary. I can't get my
Hi,
hand
Mary.
To go up either. May I say something?
Of course.
Thanks. I don't have a problem in principle with that because, you know, Margie is critical to the effort. I guess I would just ask whether it would be possible for the council to have a discussion on whether it wants to take any position, whether it wants to put out anything as a public statement or not, as soon as possible in light of the GAC meeting with the board, which I believe happens in February. And I'm saying this not just as a member of the working group, but just generally that I do think it would be probably less useful for the council to have something to say after that meeting rather than have it before. So I think time is of the essence here. Thanks.
Thank you.
And please, you know, do submit a feedback. We can use the list. We don't have to discuss things only during these meetings. So, you know, if we want to move quickly on this, then let's use the list and try and make some headway on this.
Tim.
Sorry, Tim. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. So just quickly, I just throw this out again. As you said, we can discuss it on the list. But, you know, there are some views where we, you know, just looking at the various comments that are submitted, some where we converge and some where we don't, in the various stakeholder groups. So I'm wondering if one thing you might consider as a response is simply a documenting of the views of the stakeholder groups and submitting that, and instead of trying to find a way for us to come to some agreement on each of the issues and what we would want to submit. So I'll just throw that suggestion out there.
You're suggesting we just compile the comments, right?
Exactly, yep.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. Christina?
I completely endorse that. We don't even have agreement as to whether this type of working group should have even come into existence in the first place, and I don't think it's a productive use of our time to try and kind of reconcile everybody's views on it.
In that case, we just really need a cutoff date for feedback to be received, and then once we're at that date, we just send we just compile those and send them on. So it's just a matter. Can I just ask everybody to take this to the list, and let's try and set a date for this that's realistic with regards to the point that Mary made earlier on. Jeff?
Yeah, I wasn't on that. It was just, again, to point out that, if Margie was on the call, I would have asked the question of, you know, again, why the board directed its comments directly to the working group as opposed to the GNSO and other communities that participated. This is, again, indicative of why we need rules on how these groups operate in the future. But for this, since the cat's already out of the bag, and I want to say, A, this should never be considered precedent for future activity, and B, we really need to get this other work done on how these working groups are going to work in the future.
Thanks. So we have two discussions that we can have on the list. And, you know, as we were talking about earlier on, we do need to get some sort of GNSO position, I suppose, on the CWGs, because they're obviously troubling some people.
Stefan?
Yes?
Stefan, it's Liz. I'm sorry. I just wanted to tell Jeff that I don't think Margie would have an answer to that question. If she were on the line, she would not be able to answer that question.
Thanks, Liz. Item 7, then, the board response to a reconsideration request. And we were, you can refer to the board resolution. There's a link in the agenda. And I believe we have Kurt on the line, on the call, to update us on this request. Kurt? On the call? Glenn, do you know if Kurt's on the call?
He should be, Stefan. He's showing as on.
Well, perhaps we can skip to item 8 and then come back if Kurt gets back online. So item 8 deals with the OSC and the PPSC. We have cut this item short to some extent because we were hoping to have Philip Shepherd, the OSC chair, with us, and he was unfortunately unable to attend this meeting. So we have some agenda items there that we'll defer and address at the next meeting, but we do have a motion that we are going to consider, and that is motion 6 on the wiki. The motion was made by Jeff C. seconded by me. Jeff, perhaps you can, it's a short motion, perhaps you can just read it.
Okay, so I'll start with the resolve clauses again. Resolve,
yeah.
Okay, resolve that the GNSO Council acknowledges receipt of the GNSO Working Group guidelines as delivered by the PPSC and directs ICANN staff to commence a 21-day public comment period on the GNSO Working Group guidelines. Resolve further that the GNSO Council shall take action on the GNSO Working Group guidelines as soon as possible after the end of the public comment period. Resolve further, the GNSO Council recommends that a concise summary of the Working Group guidelines be drafted by ICANN staff following approval of the GNSO Working Guidelines by the GNSO Council in order to serve as a primer to the full document for potential Working Group members. The summary should be approved by the PPSC before being submitted to the GNSO Council.
Thank you, Jeff. I see Rosemary, you have a hand up.
Stefan, I was just wondering whether it's possible in this item motion, I'm not sure, to actually progress the issue of discussing the cross-community working groups. We've mentioned them three or four times during this meeting and expressed some concern, and I really feel that we should agree to do some formal work on that rather than just continue an email discussion. And looking at this motion, I thought, well, perhaps this might be the place. Thank you.
Jeff, what do you think?
Well, I think so the working group work team addressed this in its final guidelines. I'm sorry, in the final report, where it basically said that it would view that these rules could be applied, these meaning the working group work team rules could be applied to a cross working group. I think it's a little bit of a different discussion. It's the working group work team report deals with, once you have a working group, how they all deal with each other, as opposed to how they deal with the sponsoring organization. I think it's a little bit different discussion, and I'd actually like to see, from my own personal viewpoint, this move forward without confusing the issue of cross-working groups. But I do agree with Rosemary that we should start, even if it's not a formal motion, a bunch of us should agree to form an informal group to start talking about the cross-working group issues.
Okay, and that is something that we could possibly do on the list, but if people want to volunteer for an informal group, discussion group on this now, then let's go ahead and do that.
I'd be happy to volunteer for that, Stefan.
That's Rosemary. Thank you.
Yes.
And this is Jamie. I would volunteer too.
Thank you, Jamie.
Obviously, this is Jeff. I would volunteer for that.
Obviously. Anyone else?
Tim.
Tim? Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, Bill.
Bill, thanks.
That's Jonathan.
Okay, Jonathan. Good, that's a good group of people. Anyone else want to volunteer? Please just send me or Glenn an email and we'll make that happen. So back to the motion itself. Is there any discussion around the motion? Is anyone opposed to a voice vote? Glenn, please do a voice vote on this.
All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye.
Anybody disagrees with the motion, please say nay. Is there anybody who would like to abstain?
This is Jeff. I'm going to abstain, and the only reason I am is because some have raised issues in the community that because I'm the one who is the chair of the PPSC, I don't want anything to affect this vote, so I'm going to abstain in the hopes of it never being challenged. So that's the only reason.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
So the vote, the motion carries, Stefan.
Thank you very much, Glenn. And that was our last motion for tonight. So thank you all for helping us work through that. And Glenn, just for your notes, Wendy has also volunteered for the informal discussion group that we've just mentioned. She did so on the chat. Rosemary.
Thanks, Stefan.
Stefan, would that discussion group be open to other people to join, not just council members?
It's an informal group, so I don't see why not.
Okay, good. We'll just let our stakeholder group know because there may be others who want to contribute.
Thank you.
Can I just, this is Jeff, just add that if we could try to keep the group relatively small, at least because we're just kind of informal at this point. I don't want to exclude anyone.
No.
Just to help it progress.
Yeah, I'd actually go along with that suggestion. As an informal discussion group, it may be something that we just want to keep in-house for now, and then, once something more formal comes out, this discussion, then, all our working groups and drafting teams are open to everybody. Bill?
Thanks, Stefan. I guess I would have a different view. Given that the community working groups have involved a lot of energies on a lot of people from the broader community, we ought to have the possibility for some other people to join this if they want to. And I know there are other people. Whoa, that's interesting. I don't know if everybody else hears what I just heard.
Yep.
In any event, I know that there are other people at NCSG who would certainly be interested in being involved in this, who have been very much involved in community working groups. So I hope that we will not, in fact, opt for a very small, closed, council-only group.
Thanks for making that point, Bill. Rosemary?
Yes, Stefan, I wanted to make the similar comment as Bill. I think we can find a balance between having a small and workable informal group, but including some other perspectives and other voices. And I think particularly given that the topic is cross-community working groups, that we should actually do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeff?
Yeah, I agree. I just wanted to, and I think Rose may have done it, Bill had used the word community working group, and it needs to be understood that the purpose is not for like a working group of everyone in the community. It's really a cross working group where it's cross SO, and there is a distinction between that and just a working group of the community. So I just want to draw a distinction because I think that's the way the discussions, at least that's my views on the objection. So it's really it's working groups that are comprised of different SOs as opposed to a all community working group.
Yep. Thanks, Jeff. John.
So I'll offer a different view based upon what I think there is among some of us an anxiety over the way the various parts fit together. And it would probably, in my view, be helpful if we as the council could define what that anxiety is before we more broadly try and offer a community-based create a community-based solution. So I think that I would argue that we should keep it just on the council at the start and then expand once we can define our anxiety.
Thanks, John. Bill?
This conversation is getting a little abstract for me. I mean, we're getting into questions of ontology and anxiety and all kinds of other things. The reality remains that whether you want to call it a cross SO thing or something else, there are a number of people from the broader GNSO community who have been heavily involved in these kinds of activities who are not on the council, who would have value-added input to provide. And so I really think it would not be helpful for us to have a very closed group that excludes the views of people who have direct experience with these groups. Thank you.
This is Jim. Can I get in the queue?
Yes, please do.
I guess my question is just, you know, what are we looking to do? I mean, ultimately, I know that our goal is to determine, you know, as a GNSO, as a supporting organization, what parameters, if any, or what, you know, how do we want to define these working groups? But what I'm concerned about right now is if we start this what we call this informal group, and then it includes, you know, any number of members from the broader community, you know, it's going to get there's going to be a lot of activity, a lot of work done. At what point then do we roll that over into something more formal, or do we intend to? So I think having some sort of plan, you know, would be helpful so that we don't frustrate people either. I mean, I don't have any problem with the participation aspect. It's just I don't want to frustrate all the participants. Okay, we've done this. Now we're going to start over and do something more formal. Or I guess I'm just a little confused about how do we get to our goal by just starting this informal group. I'm not sure that's going to get us there.
Thanks, Tim.
I mean, one thing I would suggest is that, you know, even if this group does start, then that I think what would be helpful is if we could, as counselors, go back to our constituencies, and if there are concerns about community, these cross-community working groups, gather that information and be sure and take that back and have someone present that to this group.
Wendy?
Yeah, just another item of input. I think that we're seeing challenges around the where does consensus come from, and who's the final word on what is consensus. Some of that affects what we think is happening in cross-community working groups. We need, I think we're getting to the point where we just need better delineations of what belongs where and what are the inputs of various groups, you know, directed toward. And that seems bigger than an informal conversation, but perhaps we can get it started here.
Okay, thanks. I'm going to cut it off at this point because we still have the presentation from Kurt that we need to get to, and there's just a couple more items in this. We decided to establish a drafting team for a new standing committee, and we have yet to solicit volunteers for this. So can I just ask if there are any volunteers for them to speak up now? We can also handle this at the next meeting or on the list if people feel that they need more time to discuss it.
Stefan, this is Mary. Sorry, I guess, can you remind us what the decision, if any, was about composition of this group?
Well, I can if I can find the link to the motion that this came from. Bear with me for a second.
Yeah, I apologize, but I was trying to find it. I just wanted to be sure what it was.
And if anyone else can help while I'm looking through my notes, please hesitate to do so. So if you look at the whereas, the second whereas in the motion that we've just passed, I think you'll see where that comes from. No, you won't. Too quickly.
Stefan, it was in the third resolved in the agenda version of the motion. It's Rosemary, sorry. But
thanks,
I can't
Rosemary.
See it in the others.
All
I can't see it in there now. Can we get back to you, Mary, on that? And possibly we need to defer discussion on that then until, you know, we can... I mean, I do remember exactly what... the idea was to have a standing committee to help carry out the OSCE and the PPSC's work, not to help carry it out, but to have a set of fresh eyes on that. But I cannot find the precise text at this time, and I don't want to waste everybody's time looking for it. So you've caught me off guard. Thanks for doing that, Mary. And we will come back to that when I'm a little better prepared.
Right. No, I didn't mean to do that because my recollection was the same as yours, and my recollection also is that I don't believe the closed versus open issue was discussed, but the fresh eyes justification was, and so my thought was that it would be open, and I just wanted to bring that up, but we can probably discuss this on the list for lack of time and maybe continue this discussion overall there too.
Yeah. I think that's right. Marika, can you help us?
Yeah, this is Marika. Actually, the motion that was adopted is now up on Adobe Connect, and it indeed doesn't specify how such a standing committee should look or the drafting team itself. It just says that a drafting team shall be established to draft a charter for a standing committee to track and coordinate implementation of those OSC, PPSC, and working recommendations already approved by the council and adopted.
Yeah. Thanks very much. That's very useful. So once again, if there are any volunteers for this, you know, make yourselves known. And this motion was passed in Cartagena. So please refer to that if you're unclear what we're talking about, or send me or the vice chairs an email, and we will get an answer to you. Another item that we had was there's a recommendation for the way we handle proxies in the operating procedures that the OSC has worked on, and that recommendation is something that's caused people a little bit of worry in the past few weeks and months, and people have been unsatisfied with it. So Bill volunteered to lead a group to update those recommendations and to edit them or to work on them so that we can get something that's more satisfactory. In the interest of time, once again, I'll just encourage people to contact Bill if they want to be part of the group. Bill, if you have an update ready, I will, you know, please give us one, but if it can be kept short, that would be helpful.
I have no update because there's no group.
Okay, that's as short as you can make it. In that case, please, if there are people willing to help Bill work on this, please contact him. And with that being said, can we go back to Kurt? We found Kurt?
Yep, I'm on the call.
Great, thanks.
Okay.
Could you give us an update on the reconsideration request, item 7?
Yeah, certainly. Well, it's not about the reconsideration request specifically, as you know, but rather it's about the board resolution asking the GNSO to consider the process by how registry agreements might be changed going forward. So as everybody here knows who participated, the policy recommendations for new GTLDs and the implementation works have sought to, you know, take lessons learned from existing GTLDs and the 2000 and 2003 rounds for new GTLDs and embed the lessons learned into the new process. And there are some lessons that are still being learned. And so one of those seems to be For the cases where GTLD registry was either a sponsored TLD, an STLD, or a restricted TLD. And for those cases, under what circumstances can the registry request a change to their agreement and change those registration restrictions or other, sponsoring organization or community restrictions in some way? And the reason why this is a rather late-breaking lesson to be learned is that recently ICANN's received a number of requests from restricted registries and STLDs seeking changes in their agreement as their business evolves or they learn lessons in their business. They seek to change their agreement in a way that allows them to compete or allows them to adjust their business model. And so they're requesting changes to the agreement. For STLDs, we have sort of a process in place in that we've delegated policymaking authorities to those TLDs, and their policymaking bodies have the power to authorize some changes. So we've sought to use that as a tool. So given that, in new GTLDs, we have a category of community-based TLDs that will have registration restrictions or other restrictions in their registry agreement that will govern how they operate their registry. And so the question is, going forward in the new GTLD program, if there's a community-based registry that seeks to amend its agreement or change its registration or restrictions for, many unanticipated reasons that can be perfectly legitimate, what circumstances or what tests should there be to determine that that agreement can be modified? And so the ICANN staff members that are working on the new GTLD process have been developing a set of conditions by which that new TLDs can modify their agreement. But this is certainly one of those issues where it's uncertain whether this is a policy decision or not. And so, for example, the creation of criteria for what is a community TLD and how it passes that test was created in the implementation model, but it certainly reviewed often with the policymaking community and amended several times in accordance with comments made there. So there's an effort going on to develop a process, an objective process, as objective as possible, right, to determine under what circumstances a community-based TLD could change, for example, its registration restrictions. And the board has asked this question to be taken up by the GNSO. So far from staff, the GNSO hasn't received anything except this oral description that you're hearing right now, but we'll receive shortly a written description of this issue and describing the issue so that the GNSO Council can discuss it more fully. And I think it's plain to say that the GNSO can react in a number of ways. It can vote and ask staff to write an issues report with the idea that it's going to undertake a policy development process on this. It could seek, discuss a staff-generated model and the pros and cons of that in a less formal way. So there's a number of ways that the GNSO could undertake this work requested by the board. That's the end.
Thanks, Kurt. One of the questions that I'd like to ask, and just with regards to what you've just said, is the board resolution actually asks the CEO to direct staff to create a briefing paper. Is that what you meant, what you were talking about when you said we would receive some material from staff?
Yes, that's what I meant. It's not an issues report. It's a briefing document.
Thank you very much. I will like to keep this very short. We're over time already. Jeff, Wendy, if you can both be very quick, and Tim's up in the queue as well.
Yeah, just to state that the registries are very concerned about this, that, you know, we want to hear from you, and hopefully you'll address in your briefing paper how it fits in with the existing RCEP process and why that doesn't take care of it, and also how any of the how any of this fits in within the picket fence, in other words, for the GNSO to decide how contracts related to this point should be amended. We, the registries, had a long discussion on this, and at this point they're not convinced that this is within the picket fence. So we know what the board asked. We're not sure whether there's any authority for the GNSO to engage in this particular activity.
Thanks, Jeff. Wendy?
Just if, to the extent that there's any meaning in notions of consumer trust, and I'm not sure that that's the right word for very much, but I think that this could be something to be considered by that working discussion.
Thank you. Tim?
Is this a I think there's two issues that I guess I see them as separate, but and I'm just wondering if there's an intent to apply one back against the other, and that is the earlier round of STLDs and the going forward rounds that will be for community TLDs. You know, the STLD round was completely closed. It was only for sponsored TLD applications. There was no opportunity for anyone to bid on a generic term that might have been assigned as a STLD at that time. It'll be a little bit different here coming up. Not a lot, but there is some difference in the community. There may not even be any opposition, but at least be open to it. So is the intent that whatever the resolution is to this, that it would be applied back to the agreements of the STLDs of the earlier rounds?
So I'm probably not the best to answer it, but the answer is my answer is I don't think so. That they have their own set of agreements, but now we're creating a community TLD that doesn't have to have a policymaking body like an STLD did. So it's different. So that I think the circumstances under which it could change the agreement might be different. So I think they're different.
Yeah, I guess
thanks,
I'll just say that I don't think I completely agree with Jeff that it's not within the GNSO purview, because it's all part of, this is all an outcome of the GNSO policy on new GTLDs, including, you know, the whole community concept. And especially given that, you know, community applicants are going to be getting preference over possibly other applicants for the same string. So I think that certainly would weigh in there, and I'm not convinced it's not a GNSO issue. Thanks.
Thanks, Tim. Christina?
I just want to make sure that I'm clear, because I had a completely different understanding based on the resolution. But, Kurt, what the GNSO is being directed to do is to consider whether or not there should be a policy development process to deal with a situation in which, under the new GTLD regime, a community TLD wants to, for a number of whatever the reasons may be, amend its agreement in such a way so as to change its community, and we're only talking about new GTLDs. I just want to make sure I'm absolutely clear, because I read this resolution to mean completely the opposite.
Thanks,
Christina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had close to my resolution. So I don't have the resolution in front of me, but here we go.
No, it's on the Adobe if you can.
Is it?
No, yeah, if you can.
All right, I'm sorry, GNSO council members. This will only take 1 second. Okay, I'm looking at it.
Do you need more time, Kurt? Because in that case, I can just cover very quickly item 9 and then get back to you and close the meeting.
So I think that the briefing paper could apply to both, but I think both are different. But I think new GTLDs are involved too.
Okay, thanks. I'm going to cut it off there because we're way over time. On item 9, which 9.1 was the status of the VC elections in the NCPH, Olga had to drop off the call, but she has provided an update on the list to that. The election is ongoing. Please refer to her email for more details. And the same with the San Francisco planning. Olga and Glenn are working on that, planning for our San Francisco meeting and our agenda there. So please engage with them if you have any specific issues you want to deal with for San Francisco. And with that, does anyone else have any other business? In that case, we will close the meeting. Thanks very much for your patience. Sorry to have run over slightly. Everyone have a good day, good evening, good night, whatever your time zone is, and speak to you all very soon. Thank you.